Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nachiyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we are studying Shmuel Bey's Perek Bey's. Perek Bey's takes us to the aftermath of David hearing about the news of Shaul's death and of his saying Akina for Shaul and Yehonasan. The dust has settled and now there needs to be a transition of leadership. There is a vacuum. So David knows he is to be king, but he does not know what the process will be for him to assume leadership. He needs to know what is his next move. David asks Hashem via the Urim Bitumen whether he should go to one of the Ari Yehuda in order to begin the process of transition. Perek Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi acharechein vayishal David b'Hashem leimor ha'aleh b'achas Ari Yehuda vayomar Hashem elav aleh. Hashem, David says to Hashem, should I go up to one of the cities of Yehuda? And Hashem tells him, yes, you should go up. Vayomer David Anaele, and David says, where should I go? Vayomer Chevrona, and Hashem said he should go to Chevron. Now, the fact that David asks for guidance from Hashem is telling us that at the very beginning of his melucha, this is what distinguishes him from his predecessor Shaul. Because David and Shaul had a very different ruling style. Shaul, on numerous occasions, he acted without consulting anybody, which contributed to his mistakes, unfortunately. David, on the other hand, is constantly seeking guidance from Hashem, from his advisors, and people close to him. And this is what distinguishes David from Shaul in terms of their ruling style. Now, the transition of David being king will not really be a quick transition. It will be a slow and gradual process. And it's important to note that we know that David has been anointed by Shmuel before, but the people may very well not know this because David was not anointed publicly. So therefore, David is very concerned about making this transition and taking on the reign in a very smooth and non-confrontational manner. The transition will actually take 7.5 years, where the people slowly and gradually develop an allegiance to David. And if you think about it, typically if a dynasty is usurped, the new king will ensure to wipe out any supporters and any royal blood of the previous dynasty, because as long as anybody from the royal blood is alive, there's a chance that the old dynasty will be reestablished. This is obviously not how David will operate. David does not rush back to the Ari Yehuda. He's very tentative in his next steps. He's not interested in taking the Melucha by force. And actually, according to the Malbim, perhaps he's worried that perhaps now is not even the right time to take over the kingship, because perhaps one of Shaul's sons is supposed to be the next king, which is why he wants to know what his next move should be. And Hashem tells him he should go to Chevron. Now, Chevron, we know, has a particular significance. It is the place where the Avos and Imahos are buried. And the Zohar explains that it was very, very necessary for David's Melucha to have its origins in Chevron because of the Avos and Imahos were buried there, so that the beginning of David's reign will in essence be associated with the Avos and he will connect with and draw strength from the Zechus Avos. Pasuk Beis. Vayal Sham David Vigam Shtein Ashav Achinom HaYisraelis VaAvigail Eshes Naval HaKarmeli. David takes his wives Achinoam and Avigail Eshes Naval HaKarmeli. And just as an aside, the reason that she is referred to here as Eshes Naval HaKarmeli, this was her previous husband, is because when she was married to Naval, this is her first encounter with David, and that is when she had a nevuah and she understood that David would be the next king. Pasuk Gimel, Va'anashav Asher Imo He'elah David Ish Ubeiso. Those men that had been with him, the people that had been around him and helped protect him, he brought up those men along with their families, Ve'yeshvu Ba'arei Chevron, and he settled them in the villages around Chevron. Now, what is significant here in these past two psukim, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, is the fact that David is taking his wives and that he's taking the men and settling them in the Arei Chevron. Now, he's not settling them in Chevron proper, but in the surrounding villages. Now, with regard to his wives, the reason that the Pasuk is stressing that he took his wives is because it speaks to the security that David felt with his move to Chevron. He took his entire family, including his wives, because he had no doubt that they would be safe. Furthermore, the Malbim points out that the men that were with him, he specifically did not bring them into Chevron with an entire entourage of men or soldiers as protection. Again, speaking to his feeling that he was protected and he need not be worried and he need not be in fear that somebody was going to attack. The Das Sofrim suggests that his decision to enter Hebron without a huge presence of armed men and armed soldiers was so that he would not be presenting himself as somebody who wants to take over the reign and to take over the Melucha by show force. He's indicating his desire to make a fresh start, a smooth and peaceful transition. Now, interestingly, if you notice in Pasuk, in Pesukim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, you will notice the Shorish Allah, Ayin Lamed Hey, to rise up, to go up, appears five times within these Pesukim, which tells us that there is a theme. There is a theme of elevation. By David moving to Hebron and facilitating this transition, he is achieving a spiritual elevation for himself and by extension, a spiritual elevation for Bnei Yisrael by becoming king. So the people of Hebron welcome him and they anoint him. After this, David's first official act as king is reaching out to the people of Yavesh Gilad. The people of Yavesh Gilad were very staunch supporters of Shaul, who had been Moser Nefesh and ensured Shaul's proper burial. And therefore, David is assuring them that he wants to repay them for the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh that they had by going into Plishti enemy territory to recover the remains of Shaul and his sons. Pasuk Hey, Vayishlach David Malachim al Anshe Yovesh Gilad, Vayomer Aleihem Bruchim Atem Lahashem, Asher Asisem HaChesed Hazeh, Im Adonechem, Im Shaul Vatikberu Oso. You should be blessed that you did this tremendous chesed. We know that burial is a chesed shel emes, particularly under these terrible conditions where they had to go into enemy territory. David is recognizing this and giving them a bracha and is also telling them that he wants to repay this kindness to them. So Pasuk Vav, Ata Yas Hashem Imachem Chesed Ve'emes, the Lashon Chesed Ve'emes, the burial is a Chesed Shel Emes. Hashem should pay you in kind with Chesed as well. And I also, V'gam Anochi Yaseh Etchem HaTova Hazos, I will also pay you back with goodness, Asher Asisem HaDavar Hazeh, because you buried Shaul with such Mesiras Nefesh. Now what's interesting is that David is a descendant of Rus HaMoaviyah. And Rus HaMoaviyah, we know, her trademark is chesed. The whole Megillas Rus was written to teach us, La'amelcha kamas char gadol legomlei chesedim. That's the whole purpose of Megillas Rus. And now David, as her descendant, as his first act, is infusing his melucha with chesed. And he is using this term chesed two times to the people of Yavesh Gilad. And again, this can speak to the overall character of what this melucha will be, that it will be a melucha shel chesed. And he will be taking after his matriarch, Rus HaMoaviyah. So the next part of the perek is describing how Avner ben Ner, who is Shaul's general, brings Shaul's son Ishbosheth to Machanaim, which is Eiver LeYarden, where he installs him as the king over the areas within Bnei Yisrael who had been loyal to Shaul. And as we said, David does not rule over all of Bnei Yisrael at once. He will have to gain their allegiance, as we see, because people are going to gravitate right now towards Ishbosheth, along with Avner, who is the general, but he's sort of controlled the situation with Ishbosheth. So David will have to slowly garner support from the rest of Bnei Yisrael, and that's going to take a while in a slow and steady process. So here we see Ishbosheth is king over every Shevet with the exception of Yehuda. Now the Navi tells us that he ruled for 2 years and David ruled for 7.5 years in Hebron. And the question is, what happened to those other 5.5 years with regard to Ishbosheth? So the Navi mentions that the rule of Ishbosheth was for 2 years because for those 2 years, that's when he had complete loyalty from all of Bnei Yisrael with the exception of Yehuda. And the rest of the time was the process of people slowly leaving Ishbosheth and moving their allegiances towards David. So the Avner's decision to initially resist the authority of David stemmed from his belief that two kings were destined to emanate from Shevet Binyamin. If we recall back in Parshas Vayishlach in Sefer Bereishis, Hashem appears to Yaakov after the encounter with Dinah and after his encounter with Esav, and he says to him in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph of Parshas Beshalach, Vayomer lo Elokim ani kel shakai perei urevei, goy ukahal goyim yihye mimeka umalachim mechalotzecha yetzeyu. Hashem tells him that you're going to be a great nation and kings will come from your loins. And Rashi explains that this is referring to Shaul v'ishboshes shehayu misheva binyamin. So there, what's going on here is that Avner is thinking when Hashem said umelachim mechalatzecha yetzeyu, it is specifically referring to Sheva binyamin. It doesn't say umelech mechalatzecha yetzei. It says umelachim, meaning that it's plural, that there has to be two kings that emanate from binyamin. And therefore, Avner is using this pasuk to prove that it was appropriate for another person from Sheva Binyamin to be king, namely Ishbosheth. So now Ishbosheth and Avner were in Machanayim, and now Avner makes his way from Machanayim, which is near in Yavesh Gila, to Givon. So he's moving in a southwestern direction, ostensibly to gather more support for Ishbosheth. It's important to note that Givon is adjacent to the border of the area that was under David's control. So now Avner's men are in Givon, and Yoav's men, this is Yoav, the general of David, and his men happen to see Avner's men from the other side of either a pool or a small lake or a reservoir. So we have these two groups of men, Yoav and his men and Avner and his men, see each other from the opposite sides of this Brechas Givon, which is a pool of water. Brechas Givon is a pool of water in Givon. And Avner challenges Yoav to a duel, ostensibly as a show of strength. So what he says is in Pasuk Yudalev, Vayomer Avner el Yoav, Avner says to Yoav, Yakumu nohana aram v'yisach haku lefaneinu, Vayomer Yoav Yakumu. Avner is challenging Yoav and says, let's let my men and your men engage in a duel. It was not meant to be a battle. V'yisach haku is like a duel. It was meant to be in sport only as a show of strength. Now the Das Sofrim suggests that Avner initiated this duel since he viewed Yoav's presence at this Brechat Givon that was so close or even entered within the Binyamin Ishbosheth border, which they viewed as a provocation. So you had 12 men on one side of the pool and 12 men on the other side of the pool, 12 versus 12. Obviously, this is significant because it represents the Shvatim, which indicates that each side seems to be truly convinced that their actions really were for the welfare of Bnei Israel, that each side felt that their king was the appropriate king at that time. Unfortunately, what began as a duel and what was mere sport quickly escalated into a full-fledged battle, where initially all 24 opponents died. And they called the name of the place that they each fell, Chelkas Hatsurim, which was in Givon. And unfortunately, from that incident, more bloodshed took place. In Pasuk Yirches, Vayihu Sham Shlosha Bnei Tzruya Yoav Avishai Va'asael, Va'asael Kalbarag Lov Ka'achan Hatzvayim Asher Basadeh. This pasuk is telling us that Yoav's two other brothers were present, Avishai and Asael, and Asael was known to be a quick runner, and therefore he decided to chase after Avner. He catches up to him, and Avner begs him to turn away and not continue this confrontation because he realizes that he will surely end up killing Asael. He is the better warrior, and he is really concerned. He doesn't want to spill any more blood. Remember, this was a battle amongst former friends, comrades. We're talking about the beginnings of a civil war. So emotions are running deep, and Avner is begging Asael, please don't let me kill you. Asael refuses to back down, and Avner pleads with him again. In Pasuk Chaf Beis, he says, "Vayosef od Avner lemar el Asael, sur l'chame acharai." He continues more to Avner, and he begs him, and he says, "Please turn away from me. Lama akeka arza ve'echa sapanai el Yoav achicha. If it's going to end up, I'm going to kill you. And if I do that, how will I be able to face Yoav, your brother? There's going to be a continued rivalry if I end up killing you. I don't want this." And unfortunately, Avner ends up killing Asael. He ends up killing him with the back of his sword, which means that perhaps he wanted to, there's debate as to whether or not he intended to kill him or not. But the second part of Pasuk Chav Gimel tells us, Vayihu kol haba el makom asher nafal sham Asael vayamos vayamodu. That anybody who came to that place where Asael died, vayamodu. They stood. It's as if they became stuck and paralyzed in place because they were dumbfounded that such a warrior like Asael could have been killed. Asal's brother Yoav and Avishai then pursue Avner in retaliation for his killing their brother, and Avner gathers the troops around him, and they are poised for another battle. But Avner calls out to Yoav as a gesture of peace. He says the bloodshed is just too much. In Pasuk Chavav, Vayikra Avner el Yoav, Avner called to Yoav, Vayomer halonetzach tochal cherev. Do you want the sword to consume us forever? Haloya data ki marati yabacharona. You know that there's going to be this bitter outcome. Va'ad masai lo tamar la'am lashuv me'acharai acheihem. Until when will you, let's get to the point that you're going to tell your men to turn around and not pursue their brothers. Again, this is a civil unrest. To which Yoav responds, had you not challenged us to the duel in the first place, this never would have happened. But despite that, Yoav then blows the shofar as a signal that there should be a truce, after which both sides retreat. Avner and his men travel through the night towards Machanayim. The death toll is very high. From Yoav's side, the Navi tells us that 19 men plus Asael died, and from Avner's side, 360 men fell. And the parak ends with the burial of Asael in Beis Lechem and their return to Hebron. The pasuk tells us in pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayis'u az Asael v'yikberu bekever aviv asher Beis Lechem. They carried Asael and they buried him in the kever of his father, which was in Beis Lechem. Vayilchu kol halayla Yoav va'anashav, and Yoav and his men walked all night. Vayeor lahem beChevron, and as they entered Hebron, it became light, meaning the sun came up. And perhaps this can also be alluding to the fact that from this point onward, the light of David's Melucha will be shining. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.